Starting a company as a college student is, am I cool with the worst case scenario? And do I want to learn how to be more resilient and learn from failure? And if so, and then I can pursue the potential upside that entrepreneurship might have as well.
You're listening to the Founder Podcast Series, your source for inspiration and insights from successful entrepreneurs from the Yale community. I'm Nathaniel Johnson, and I'm here with my co-host, Elena Derevyanko, to inspire and encourage an entrepreneurial mindset among those who possess an inclination towards innovation without being dissuaded by inherent risks. Today, we have with us Bennett Bradley, co-founder and chief operating officer of Verb Energy, a company that specializes in providing natural, vegan, and caffeinated energy bars made with organic green tea. Verb Energy grew a strong customer base seeking a natural and vegan way to boost their energy, and the company currently holds a net worth of $20 million. We are privileged to have Bennett join us on our pod to share his insights and expertise in becoming a successful entrepreneur. So I guess we can start this off by talking about maybe your recent ventures and a little overview of what Verb Energy does.
Sounds good. So I'm one of the three co-founders of Verb. We are a new age energy brand really focused on providing healthy and delicious caffeinated energy products to people all across the country. We got started when the three of us co-founders were undergrads at Yale, really focused on solving our own personal energy needs. The idea actually struck Matt, one of my co-founders, when he was standing in line for coffee at Blue State Coffee, and he paid too much for coffee in a granola bar and thought there has to be a better way for us to get this caffeinated solution in all in one. And so he pitched the idea to me and Andre, who became the three of us co-founders. And we started making caffeinated energy bars in our dorm room kitchens and then later in a local bakery that we rented out on campus. One thing kind of led to another, and we were able to grow from there. We raised some initial funding and were able to launch online in May of 2018. And then since then, we've become one of the fastest growing food companies in the country at this point. We're located in New York, have a team of more than 20 people across the organization, and we sell our products all over the country and are excited to kind of continue the growth from there.
Amazing. What do you think would be your most valuable insight from that journey from being a undergraduate student here to creating such a company as Verb Energy?
Well, I think one thing about entrepreneurship that's always so wonderful is it's a constant learning experience. Every single day you're learning all sorts of new things, and that has to really excite you for you to be able to continue to build and build and build. And for us at the beginning, it was a lot of learning from our first customers, and we were making a product that really appealed to those around us, and we were able to learn from what people wanted in an energy product, talk to athletes, talk to people who are using the product for staying up late at night to study and all sorts of other components, and really learn a lot from customers and build a product that really fit people's needs in a really unique way, and then design a company to really solve that problem at scale.
Amazing.
Yeah. So when you guys were kind of determining like product market fit in the sense of asking, you know, the athletes and such, what were your sort of like methods of kind of gauging that this would be something that people would want to consume?
We definitely adhered to the lean startup model, which is essentially you build a minimal viable product and get that product into customers' hands and then learn from them as you continue to grow. And so the way that we did this was we set out first to create food products that the three of us loved. And once we created something in our kitchens that we thought tasted great, delivered an outstanding energy effect, some friends wanted to try it as well. And so we were able to see what they thought of the product and then take their feedback into account and continue to improve. And that process is for a company like ours so essential towards discovering your product market fit. And we were able to, you know, create new iterations, learn from customer feedback at each kind of milestone that we hit. And that allowed us to learn, okay, now we've actually tapped into something that people really love. They keep coming back to us to buy more and more of this product. let's now design a brand around it, design a marketing strategy, and actually bring this to customers at scale. So I'd say that was a pretty essential process to finding that product market fit.
Yeah, that whole journey, right, kind of like, you know, the lean model MVP and such, it's a good way to iterate. I would say, you guys being, you know, consumers of the product you're creating, do you think, for one, that was such an essential part to kind of drive you guys to create in the first place? And would you kind of advise entrepreneurs in general to someone tackle a problem they have by themselves so that they can know how best to solve it?
I think it was fortunate that we were solving a problem that the three of us felt so directly. Like, I personally wanted an energy product that would solve for, you know, when I was trying Red Bull, 5-hour Monster, coffee, like crazy, and Diet Coke, I wanted a product that was better and healthier for me as a person to try. And that made me really passionate about solving that problem for myself. But I would say that you can't always create products just for yourself, because that gives you a very myopic view of who the customer is. And really the best approach is to take a more intellectually humble approach and actually reach out to customers and learn from them. And we discovered that, like, our target customers were actually different than the college students that we initially started, but a lot of, like, young parents, working moms, so on, and nurses, teachers, and doctors really saw Verb is essential to their lives. And we learned a lot from them and tried to design products that were perfect for those people. And that's who we leaned into. And then for future entrepreneurs, what I'd say is, like, it's really important to pick a problem that you are very passionate about solving. If you're only passively interested in the problem, entrepreneurship is really hard and you're going to get knocked down and you're going to want to quit because you don't care about it enough. But if you find a problem that you're truly passionate about, that you really believe should exist, a solution for it should exist in the world, then that'll really fuel you through the challenges and difficulties involved in entrepreneurship and will keep you going.
Awesome. So we talked so far about how idea and being passionate about idea, as well as being a good market fit and knowing your customers, how essential that is to creating a successful business. Would you say other factors like timing or team were as important in your success, in your business success, or timing was like less important and team was more important? What are your thoughts on that?
I think there are a lot of things that have to work out, fortunately, for entrepreneurial venture to be successful. There are a lot of things that have to line up that are essential to making it work. And it's kind of tricky to prioritize all of those. But I would say that the right team, I'd say, is kind of the most important thing in my book. I've been so fortunate to get to work with Matt and Andre, who become some of my best friends in the world, but are people who I really respect, learn from, and admire each and every day. And that's so critical towards building anything together. You need to have outstanding people to work with. And so I think that is probably the most important, but there are many other factors that contributed to our success, and many of them are essential. For us, timing was probably a little less important than other companies, because I think we're solving a problem that a lot of people face over the course of a long kind of stretch in time and history. But we are still participating in the larger trends of healthy and better for you food and beverage products, and the ability to reach customers direct to consumer all online and be able to scale up from there. So all of those pieces definitely contribute, but I wouldn't say that they're more important than things like a great team.
Okay. And what would you say is your typical day from when you were just starting to execute the idea or trying to bring the idea to life to now where it's a full growing and a very successful company? How does that compare?
Well, very different. The days have evolved quite a bit. I mean, like, when we were first getting started, we were students on campus. So it was managing classes, texting customers, making our product at night, and then, you know, selling it during the day. There were a lot of skipped classes, a lot of caffeine, obviously, and a lot of just trying to make it work and scramble. Then it evolved when it became a full-time role. I mean, the three of us co-founders we built out a way for us to text with all of our customers. And so we managed text conversations with thousands of customers, just the three of us, for quite a while. And so our days would often start out by responding to all the texts that we've gotten from customers and managing those orders. And then we would move on to work on any any problem that the business was facing, mostly oriented around how could we market and scale and grow the business. And then now it's evolved to, for us, the three of us see our roles as really trying to set the overall strategy for Verb as a business and create a really outstanding team full of really, really talented people who we learn from each and every day. And we're able to just work with them on Verb's biggest problems. But it has shifted dramatically from those early days on campus, for sure.
Yeah. So there is this big, you know, transition. Obviously, a lot of entrepreneurs today start off in college, right? And it's always about, you know, having your community as your user basis initially and then scaling off to the real world. So you guys, you were talking about, you know, skipping classes, you know, managing like these thousands of customers. How did you guys, I guess, evaluate and kind of progress into a full-scale company where you were involved full-time? Like, what was that role like? And also, what was the pivoting factor that made you decide that?
It was a bit more of a rolling start process than a conscious decision. Like, we just kind of kept doing it and it kept growing and it kept kind of like becoming a more and more important thing for us in our own lives personally. And then it became to the point of, okay, hey, like we've raised enough funding to be able to pay ourselves a little salary to be able to work on this full time. Maybe let's give it a shot and actually pursue it and give it our everything that we had. And that really allowed for us to make the decision to go full time. My two co-founders graduated a year before I did. So they were already working on it full time in Boston, actually, while I was finishing up my senior year. And so I spent that year commuting between Boston and New Haven, working with them when they were full time, but also still finishing up classes and being a student on campus. So it was a pretty like merged approach. There wasn't necessarily a clear moment where we said, okay, now we're going to be fully, you know, full-time in this.
Yeah, exactly. But on the point, I guess, of when your two co-founders, right, say they graduated Yale, and they were kind of making the decision here, whether they can work in a job or commit, right? Was it really then, I guess, salary at the time that was kind of like, I guess, like a safety measure that would incentivize them to work on it? Or was it more the...
Yeah, the three of us, I mean, we were really passionate about it and we were at a great spot in life where we didn't really have that major responsibilities. You know, we didn't have family support, didn't have, and we were in a position to be able to take a risk together. And we were having such a great time, the three of us working together. And we had some initial traction that really propelled us forward. And of course, along the way, we were able to raise a seed round of funding, which gave us enough funding to have confidence that the business could exist for at least a couple of years and that it was worth us really pursuing the long-term growth of the business. And I think when you're starting out, you don't have to fully commit to wanting to work on your venture full time, but really giving it a great effort at the very beginning to put yourself in a position to hopefully be able to at least have the option of working on it full time. And then seeing how the progress goes and seeing how much traction you're able to build kind of makes the decision for you as opposed to having to you know, really make it yourself.
That is very inspiring. And kind of follow up on that, how do you see your business growing and where do you see it going like in the future without everything so fast paced and everything so like developing fast and like attention span going from one thing to another that fast, roughly speaking? Yeah.
For us, we're really now turning towards how can we build a brand that's here for the long run and a brand that reaches customers all across the country and hopefully other countries around the world in the near future. So we've grown quite significantly, purely direct consumer, all online and over text. And now's the point in our life cycle where we are now expanding to national retailers. So over the course of the next year or so, we'll be in stores all across the country and hopefully be able to move into national retailers at a pretty significant scale. And then at that point, we'll be able to reach customers wherever they need energy. And that really fits with Verb's overarching mission of how can we provide outstanding energy to people and make it really accessible to them anywhere that they are and at a very affordable price point. And so for us, that's what the future looks like, trying to expand to become nationally distributed and recognized as a source of energy among customers all across the country.
Amazing. How would you say that you approach marketing? Because marketing is one of the most important things, aspects of growing a business. How do you approach marketing from that sense?
Yeah, it's incredibly important towards building and scaling any business, particularly one that focuses so much on individual customers like ours does, as opposed to businesses. But we originally started out by how can we differentiate our brand in the energy space? How can we really create something that was unique and different? And our vision of what energy was, I think, allowed us to find our grounding in our brand. We looked at Red Bull, 5-Hour, and Monster, and we saw that that is really aggressive, loud energy that just screams chemicals and more caffeine. And what we believed is that we should build a really radically inclusive brand that's much more focused on delivering healthy, delicious products for everyday people and for regular people, not just folks doing backflips on dirt bikes, but for the working parent who's juggling a job and trying to be a really attentive parent to a young kid. How can we create an energy product for them? And so that we were able to ground our brand in this concept of human energy and how can we really focus and lean into that. And then we built our packaging and the way that we show up in the world all around that. And then we approached online marketing with a similarly to at the beginning of stages of a business, but real test, iterate, and learn approach to online marketing. We worked with everything from Facebook ads and Google ads and all sorts of different ways to do digital marketing, as well as working with influencers and sending the product towards people who have large followings and see what they think. And you kind of see what works and see what drives new customer acquisition and encourages people to try your product. And then you double down on things that work and maybe abandon things that don't work and kind of continue to grow from there.
Amazing.
So talking about the current marketing techniques, right? There's a lot of, aspects in the digital space, Facebook ads, Instagram, TikTok, et cetera. But we've also seen some recent proliferation in, virtual reality, right? Mm-hmm. There's often ways where people are interacting with stores virtually and interacting with their products. Do you guys have a plan to integrate yourselves to the next technological medium that's slowly transitioning now, or kind of stagnant on the current mediums people are using?
We definitely see that we have a lot to grow in the existing channels where we already are. And so for us, the focus is on channels where we are and then channels that will really serve retail. For us, as a food and beverage brand, the vast majority of customers produce or purchase food and beverage products actually in stores. And so we want to build marketing that really appeals to people that are making purchase decisions in physical retail stores. So for us, we're really focused on kind of those core, more traditional marketing channels. But in the long run, we really do see, the evolution of marketing is great trends to observe, and being on the cutting edge of that really does pay. And so we are paying attention to it and trying to learn as much as we possibly can, but we do see a lot of existing opportunity in the channels that we're working on already.
Yeah, of course, because mentioning how, these this current medium is growing the fastest at the moment, right? The next ones to come are somewhat in a slower development rate. So mm-hmm. we can best optimize there. What would you say is kind of your most successful marketing technique or strategy that you've been using for Verb Energy?
Absolutely. So we've built out a strong subscription service for Verb where customers can text with us and engage really authentically and human to human. So we'll send you a reminder text every month before your subscription renews, and you're able to change flavors, see what new products we have, skip, change your shipping address, or modify it however you'd like to. And the way that we've introduced this to customers is often through an initial offer that allows people to try the product at a really discounted price. And then customers will continue to come back for that. And so for us, we work with a lot of influencers and other people who love the Verb brand. And then when they're sharing it with their followers, they oftentimes will have a promo code or a personalized discount that allows for people to get a variety of flavors and try it at a heavily discounted rate. And then for customers who stick around and really like that, they become subscribers in our kind of system. And so that creates a really nice new customer acquisition to retain subscriber flow, essentially. And that fuels most of our marketing growth.
That's really amazing how you were able to identify like key strategies and apply them so effectively in your niche. Do you think skills like skills like marketing, scaling your business, knowing so proficiently your niche, what are other skills that you think are most transferable in building a business, and how did you personally gain those?
I mean, you have to be a good learner, I think, is the core skill that you need to have. You need to approach every day as an opportunity to learn, and finding your own like learning strategy. So for some people, that's reaching out to a lot of advisors and learning from people who have done, you know, what you're trying to do and apply their learnings to the stage that you're at. Reading a ton, every example that you can find online, finding really great thinkers on, you know, social media that you can follow, and learning from them is so critical. And I think that that's kind of helped us develop the skill set, and then to approach our actual work with a sense of test, iterate, and learn. So like, you know, trying out different tactics for marketing, trying out different tactics for how you manage, you know, your supply chain or product development or whatever aspect of the business it might be, bringing that same learning mindset to test new ways of doing something, learning from the experience and making changes to improve it is just really so essential. And there's no core skill set can replace that one in my mind.
Awesome. And do you think, are you personally a person that would delegate the skills delegate tasks that require the skills or the knowledge that you don't personally have, or you would much rather be the learner, as you mentioned?
I think you need to do both to be really successful. Like, it's really important to learn and understand every aspect of your business. And that's something that me, Matt, and Andre, I think, have done pretty well with Verb, is we've done everything from customer support to making the actual product to shipping the actual product. We understand every single aspect of the whole business. And that really allows us to be good thought partners with people who are more specialized in their core areas. And so while our VP of marketing knows a whole lot more about marketing than I will ever know about marketing, it's really helpful for me to be able to be an informed participant in conversations with her so that we can work together to solve problems together, and that I can be really thoughtful. But it's not necessarily a good strategy to not learn the core skill sets that you need to be successful, and just assume that outside, like folks who you're working with, will be able to provide all the expertise there. It really has to be more collaborative than that.
Yeah. So we kind of see like this duality, in a sense, right, between sort of an optimistic thing of, let's say, collaboration is going to work, mm-hmm. it's just going to work, versus actually learning it through. But we see even at Yale and across other schools nowadays, people are somewhat dissuaded from pursuing ideas and entrepreneurship due to kind of this knowledge and correlation of fear that it won't work out. So what parting sort of advice would you give to the listeners here about being discouraged to take that risk, in a sense of having a medium between learning something and also being optimistic and not knowing everything, right, to the point where it dissuades you from doing it?
Yeah. One thing that, I mean, I think each person should find their own mindset that helps them deal with failure, because that's such an important life skill in general to develop and to build up that resiliency to be successful in any field. But in entrepreneurship specifically, one thing that helps me manage it is to walk through worst case scenarios all the time and become comfortable with the worst case scenarios. And then think about the upside scenarios, and kind of that gives you a nice range of expectations to have. And for me, the way that I approached entrepreneurship and Verb more broadly is, our worst case scenario right now is we had a great learning experience with three people, or, you know, the three of us who have become really close friends, and we've been able to learn so much together. And for me, that's an acceptable worst case scenario. And that really kind of frees you up to pursue the upside potential of creating something outstanding together. And I'd say that with entrepreneurship in general, you know, if you're interested in it, it's a really wonderful and rewarding experience, but it is full of failure. That is so important to recognize, is that that will be your everyday, but you can take that failure as a learning experience and you can treat it for that rewarding element in your day-to-day. And if you see that as valuable to learn from mistakes and to learn through failure and build resiliency and build a capability to persevere, then entrepreneurship is really right for you. And it can be a really incredibly valuable experience that makes you more successful at anything that you apply yourself to on into the future. So that's the approach that I would take if I was considering starting a company as a college student, is, am I cool with the worst case scenario? And do I want to learn how to be more resilient and learn from failure? And if so, and then I can pursue the potential upside that entrepreneurship might have as well.
Awesome. And we would love to hear, maybe if you would like to share some of the things that you're working on now, maybe within Verb or outside of that.
Yeah. So within Verb, we're always working on new products. We're going to be developing all sorts of new ways to meet each person's unique energy needs. So everything from how we released a caffeinated protein bar line, which was a little bit larger than our previous product line, and has 10 grams of plant-based protein in it. And so we're working on developing out those products, developing a variety of new flavors. And then, as I mentioned earlier, we're really focused on expanding into national retailers. And that's a really great learning experience to understand how retailers work, improving your supply chain, getting ready for the increases in demand that will come as a result. And that's really the core day-to-day. And then we're building out the team and growing and learning together. So spending a lot of time mostly focused on growing in those areas of the business these days.
Yeah, that's perfect. It's great insight to continue to grow up what you're building, as long as building other skills as well. But the insight is very valuable. Thank you so much for everything you spoke about today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course.
Awesome hearing from you. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us. And yeah.
Sounds good. Well, thanks so much. Please let me know if there's anything else that you will need at any time. But it was great chatting with you.
You too. All right, perfect. We'll be in touch.
Yeah. Sounds good. All right.
Okay.
Yeah.